D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Zach, and I dig the underground. So this is a happy second year anniversary to all you at the underground, both past and present. May you have a wonderful third year.
Broadcasting from Sunny Shore City, you're listening to The Underground Radio, bringing you the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. I'm Josh.
And I'm Sam. For today's broadcast, we'll be chatting all about our week in Pokemon, celebrating the second anniversary of the show, spotlighting an electric type from Kalos, and asking another question of the week. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotom what it wants.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, Josh.
Hey, Sam. 2 years.
2 years.
That is so incredibly amazing.
Yes, it is. I super did not think that 2 years ago I would be doing a podcast, much less have a podcast that's been around as long as it has.
And yeah, when I first started listening to you guys, I was hoping it would last that long, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of the things that we talked about in the last year's anniversary episode was we're going to try and stick around and do Pokemon podcast for as long as there is Pokemon to podcast about. So, yeah.
And there better be for all time.
Yes.
Because my kids and my grandkids will be playing Pokemon... and we'll be listening to very old versions of us talking about Pokemon, Sam.
Yes.
You'll be able to hear my long white beard through the podcast.
I like that mental image.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But yes, it is the second anniversary episode, and I think we are going to be tentatively entitling this particular episode Hasn't Felt Like 2 years, so, and it really hasn't. It has not felt like 2 years. It feels like it feels like things are taking forever. It's like timeless, and I really like that about our podcast. And I don't know if it's just that it's the perception of time that's there or whatever it is, but It just feels like this podcast never truly gets older. It always feels like it's interesting. It always feels like it's exciting. And we have a bunch of listeners who are very, very devoted to listening to this part, to this podcast. And, you know, we thank them from the bottoms of our hearts, you know, that they chose us to listen to over the admittedly wide variety of podcasts there are out there dedicated to this particular subject. So thanks again, you guys, for being very awesome and, you know, especially very patient with us this last year.
Yes, and for dealing with me.
And, you know, we'll start out this particular episode here with our usual Pokemon chatter. We have a couple other little segments here and there that we're going to be tossing in, but with our customary chatter here, we'll be starting out with Josh, who has admittedly far more to talk about than I do, and by far more awesome stuff to talk about, really, than I do at this point. Maybe when I start getting to my own tournaments here, we'll have more to say on my end, but you know, state tournaments, those are super exciting. So
They're pretty sweet.
Yes.
Actually, I can't say they're pretty sweet. I've never been to one. I'm hoping that they're pretty sweet.
Oh, they will be.
But yeah, I guess this last week in Pokemon for me, Thursday at League, we did another Wacky Rules TCG tournament. And that was quite entertaining. We had a lot of very angry and very excited people. One of our rules this time, I don't think I mentioned it last time that we talked about this. And I know that we didn't have this rule the last time. What it was is all basic type Pokemon do half damage with their attacks. So it was very fun to have people in there with their EX decks doing half the amount of damage that they're supposed to. And it's half damage rounded down, which is even better.
All right, so I'm just going to be setting up my triple laser here, 10 damage to
Exactly. Exactly.
That's sad.
It was very incredibly entertaining. So, yeah, that was a really fun tournament. We actually didn't quite finish it because we had a few people who I knew were going to show up for the tournament that didn't quite make it on time for the start of the tournament, so I, you know, held back the start of it a little bit.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was a thing this last Thursday. And then at League, I battled like four people in the TCG.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. I used my new Skarmory Greninja deck, which I know is not the most competitive deck in the world.
Hey, but... you know, that's okay, though. I mean, the not as competitive decks ever are also pretty fun sometimes.
Yeah, it was a really fun deck, and I used it three times against three different people, and it actually won all three of the fights.
Awesome.
So that was cool. And then there was a guy who wanted to test his tournament deck against, you know, a real deck. So I busted out my Keldeo Blastoise deck. And I got through half of that fight before the tournament started. So one of the other guys at League took over and finished the battle for me. And I guess he pretty much just handled the other guy's deck.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing for my deck. Not good for his deck because he's using that at the state tournament.
Oh.
But.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is.
But I knew I was going to win at the beginning of the fight because whenever I draw my first hand and then go to set up my prizes, if I pick up six cards and I have the exact number of prizes in my hand, I'm going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's all there is to it. If I have a seventh card, if I only have five cards and I'm, you know, one off from my prizes, then it's 50-50. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've also been, like, breeding like crazy, trying to help people get their teams ready. There's a guy who just told me that his girlfriend is coming up for the tournament, and she doesn't really play competitively at all, has never bred a Pokemon in her life. So I bred her an entire team. I've bred a couple Pokemon here and there for a couple of the kids at League just to, you know, help them, because I do have all the time in the world at work.
Sure.
So I figured I might as well help these people out. And one of those Pokemon was, actually, I got two of them, but I got two Hidden Power Ice Electrikes. And
oh.
I got them via breeding, so it was legitimate, which makes me happy.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know one of the kids is going to be using them, and hopefully it will be the Dragon Destroyer that it should be. I also helped my League leaders a little bit with their professor exams, you know, helped them get all set up. And then for some of the harder questions, you know, gave them a little bit of direction.
Yeah.
You know, pushed them in the right direction to get the right answers. So
poked
we now
them in
have
the right direction.
Exactly. So we now have three judges for tournaments, three professors, three people who can judge, which is good because I'll always be the organizer. But now I can have a judge wandering around too, so that people aren't yelling at me while I'm doing other things.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I've been getting everything, you know, kind of buttoned up and ready for the state tournament. Oh, and I didn't put this in the notes, but there's a reward for whoever brings in the most state tournament participants, like... Everybody that doesn't live in the Dallas area got some kind of code And if you put in this code when you register for the tournament, it counts towards that league or that group. And our league is in first place.
Nice.
Which means that as of state tournament, if we remain in first place, when we get to state tournament, the lady who's running the tournament, Christine Noah, who is an awesome human being, by the way, she is going to hand me two boxes of X and Y boosters.
Very awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully we remain in first place, that we can have that to either give out as prizes at league, or just to share with everybody who came to the tournament, just as a thank you for, you know, boosting our numbers and, you know, making our league look awesome and, you know, driving up from Corpus, which is 6.5-7 hours.
Exactly.
So, might just distribute them out to everybody who comes to the tournament. Yeah, so that's cool. State tournament's going to be awesome. I purchased bank on both of my systems, so that's good. Did it about 15 minutes ago, honestly. And my last little bit of chatter is kind of a victory road for, you know, two human beings, myself and then Jacob Hathaway, one of our listeners. He's an awesome, awesome guy. He asked me if he could get a Ditto, and I had a couple left. So I traded him one, and he had asked, you know, via Facebook messaging how or what he should offer me. He's like, you know, I got a few shinies, but they don't have great stats, And I told him to give me a Pidgey. I told him I didn't need anything special. You know, I was just going to throw it away once I got it. And when he throws up the trade, it was a shiny Wingull.
Whoa.
And I told him I didn't need anything special, but the fact that, you know, he offered it was just really cool.
Yeah.
So he's, yeah, he's just an awesome guy. So Jacob Hathaway is now on my friendly friends list, whatever that means.
Good deal.
So, yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Well, we do have quite possibly one of the best Pokemon communities out there.
I don't know if it's quite possibly one of the best. I think it's absolutely
the best.
Yes. It's a great, great group of people.
It is. It really is. And I think, well, especially when, you know, you were talking to me earlier about all the other stuff with the differences that we've had between our leagues here, it's, you know, it feels like, you know, just when you've got a good group of people together of Pokemon players and they all are really just awesome people, it just attracts more awesome people and you start developing something that's just beautiful, for lack of better words.
It's true.
So.
But yeah, that's my chatter. Sorry if I chattered for too long.
No, listening to your chatter is amazing.
Well, I'm glad that you feel that way. But yeah, what did you do this week, Sam?
Well, this morning we actually pushed back the recording of the podcast for a while, and it's because I got into a trade with some person who I'm just guessing here, I'm thinking is from France. I don't know that for a fact, but the fact that he had a whole ton of French Pokemon just lends me to that belief there. He just randomly requested to trade with me and just a passerby, and I was like, okay, sure. And we ended up trading Pokemon for an hour and 15 minutes.
Jeez.
So, and I gave away a lot of my Friend Safari Pokemon that I had obtained in Luxury Balls. So I gave out a lot, but, and I didn't get, you know, I got French, like, I got a Zubat in return for it named, like, Nosferati or something, which I thought was pretty cool. And pretty I got cool. A Psyduck that was named Psychoquack. I think that's, like, the legit, like, French name of it. I don't know for a fact. So, you know, that was the thing there. And, you know, I just got a bunch of random stuff, and it wasn't anything super special. I might be able to use it for breeding if I ever do decide to go all Masuda method on something. But, I don't know. I thought it was really cool that he and I just sat there and traded and traded and traded. And it was pretty cool. I liked it.
An hour and 15 minutes of trading with the same person. That's an hour more than I've ever done.
Yeah. And yeah, it was really cool. I really, really appreciate. Yep. And that is what its French name is. It's Nosfer. Nosferatu. So I was pretty close, but yeah. So I got a bunch of French Pokemon there, and I don't know, it's pretty cool that I have some Pokemon from France. Maybe I'll box them for a while until I decide what to do with them. And I also have been fine-tuning the deck that I want to take to regionals, because the metal deck does very, very beautifully against EX heavy decks, but when you're not fighting an EX heavy deck, then you're not going to do so hot. And I've been trying to refine, no pun intended there, the various engines that are in play in the deck. I feel like it has a little too much draw and retreat power, and I feel like it has not like draw power and like I don't have enough supporters in there, but not a, too much draw power in the form of like Ultra Balls and things of that nature where by the time I'm already set up with the deck, I've already found all the Pokemon that I need. I really don't need the Ultra Balls at any point anymore. And that's kind of how I also felt about some of the other cards in it. They're just that I have too many of them for a rather limited number of Pokemon that I'm actually going to use that I will most likely find anyway.
Yeah. Is there any way for you to use them as fodder for like computer search or anything like that?
Well, I don't use computer search in that deck. I
Okay.
prefer to run Scramble Switch in that deck because a lot of the Pokemon that are metal type Pokemon have a very high energy cost and retreat cost for their respective attacks, and being able to Scramble Switch and instantly set up a benched Pokemon that just started out fresh is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And I have played around with the idea of computer search or for dowsing machine, but the nice thing about the deck that I have there is that I don't really need to search for anything in the deck once I've gotten a fairly easy setup going on there, and I don't really have to search for anything in my discard pile once I've used it because, like for tech cards, when I set up a Hypnotoxic Laser, I only ever really need the one, and it stalls out just long enough for me to get a nice momentum going again. And, the other ace specs, just the Scramble Switch just works out the best for it.
Yeah.
So, especially with those Registeels in them. So I've also been trying to find all the Friend Safari Pokemon. I've been a little disappointed with one of the Facebook groups on the internet that I also belong to. It was entitled something along the lines of like sharing Friend Safari threads, but nobody responded to any of the requests I had for Friend Safari Pokemon, trying to find the safaris for specific ones. And I thought that was a little lame. I mean, it's if a guy needs help, I mean, I usually try to help them out, and I think it's just the North Dakota or Upper Midwest sort of thing, but
Well, and I mean, I can understand why people don't respond to those kind of things because didn't you, I think you told me yesterday that I was in that group and I have no idea. So I'm wondering if people joined that group and then completely forgot about it. So I apologize, Sam,
I
for
suppose.
everybody that's like me.
But yeah, after a few days of not hearing anything back from anybody there, and there were a bunch of people who posted in there, so it mostly turned into a trading forum, I think. So at that point, I was like, well, I then moved on to the Serebii forums, and so far, every single person that I've responded to there has gotten back to me within an hour. So,
Wow.
yeah, I've been very pleased with them over there, and I know a couple of the listeners and several of my friends prefer to use Bulbapedia for that sort of thing, but you know, Serebii, I have not had any real negative things happen with them, and their community has been pretty decent. I haven't really sat on the forums too often, but the Serebii forums are usually filled with some pretty awesome people. So, you know, I appreciate that there. I got my ice and ground type safaris completed now. So, I've still got some major work ahead of me, especially with fairy types. The fairy type friend safaris are unbelievably rare. I don't know why, but
Yeah.
so I'll be finding out more on that, and I've also been trying to inform some of these people who are looking for like Ditto safaris. It's like, hey, you should come over to our Facebook group. There are people out here who do have Ditto safaris and a couple other things, and you know, you can also, you know, listen to a Pokemon podcast while you're at it, I guess.
Oh, there you
So.
go. Speaking of, I haven't talked to Dario in a long time. I should fix that.
Yeah, neither have I. I should also talk to him. We should try and get him on a Skype down night one time.
We should.
So, there you go. We're coming for you, Dario. We're coming.
Watch your back.
And the last thing that I really have is that the Xerneas season opened up, and the Xerneas season is going to be going on through, I think, the end of March. I think it's going to start up with the Yveltal season in the beginning of April. And I still haven't gotten my things yet. I think Ben said, the owner of the other league in town here, said that he got his stuff, though.
Ben is a
And,
liar.
well, I don't think this time it is, because according to information I had, we were supposed to be getting like enhanced hammers or something, crushing hammers, something along that line. But he said, yeah, they sent me stuff and I got the escape ropes. So I am super excited about that because I need escape ropes. I need escape ropes, Josh. They're a thing that I need. I need escape ropes.
Yes, but Sam, do you feel that you need them?
Oh, I feel that I need them
Okay.
because I'm just saying right now, I don't, you know, it's the Switch cards that I have, you know, being able to put a float stone on every deck is sort of okay, but I also need some escape ropes because people are just like, haha, I'm gonna have my benched Pokemon sitting back here. And I really need them to get pulled up, and I don't want to use Pokemon catchers.
Yeah, nobody wants to do the flip.
Yeah. Well, there are some people who want to do the flip, but they're the people who are running the Sableye in the deck, where it's just like, well, you know, I can afford to burn four catchers this turn because I'm just going to get them all back in 2 turns anyway. So,
Good point.
because Sableye is a horrible, horrible Pokemon. And I'm only saying that because I don't have a Sableye deck. Though I could make one.
Should remedy that, Sam.
I should, because I have like seven of those Sableye. I
Jeez.
bought a whole ton of the Dark Explorers when Dark Explorers came out, and I was just searching through my older cards, and it was just like, oh, so I have seven Dark Explorers junk on Sableye. I should probably do something with these.
Maybe a little overkill, but that's all right. It's
Yeah,
acceptable.
I'll throw all seven in a deck.
There you
Just,
go.
yep, this is my Sableye deck. I have all Sableye all the time.
Seven Sableye, four Juniper, and four Sycamore.
Yes, and more Sableye from older sets, just
Well, of
because.
course. It's like the Arceus deck.
Yes, they need to bring back Arceus. And somewhere David just cringed. He was just like, oh, I feel something in the force here, and Oh, it just hurt my brain.
And now he's sitting in a corner rocking back and forth and crying.
You know, I don't mean this to, in a bad way either, but I kind of hope that's the case because he's a psychology major, and I like the mental image that that's bringing up. I know I'm a horrible person, but I don't know.
I like it, Sam. I like it.
So that's Pokemon chatter, and now I think we will go on to the probably the shortest segment we have of the entire day here, which will be news.
And welcome to the news desk. Like Sam said, we don't have a whole lot going on for news this week. We do have a few underground announcements, though. First of which is that the voting week is over, and to Kent's chagrin, it is Pidgey. So Pidgey wins, Pidgeot still loses.
Yep,
And
well, Pidgeot wasn't even a choice this time around. Someone chose Pidgeotto, and then I was just like, huh, I wonder if Pidgeot will actually get in there. And then Darren was just like, Omastar,
yeah.
and wrecked everything. And then Kent felt even worse from that. He was just like, I swear, if someone suggests Omastar, I am just gonna quit Pokemon. Darren's just like, Omastar.
And that is another reason that I love this group.
Yes.
So we love each other enough to just be jerks to one another.
Yep.
But yeah, so that episode, that double team episode, will actually be in 2 weeks.
Yep, and that's because we were just going to give us enough time to be able to actually do something with the Pidgey teams now that we're going to be doing that. I almost want to build like a VGC team with a Pidgey on it just to see what happens with the Pidgey.
I was thinking about doing that as well, so I'm glad that we're on the same page, Sam.
Yes. We also have a announcement here that the Pokemon that the Underground will be distributing for our second year anniversary will be Rotom. And for anybody who saw that as a surprise, you know, nope, it's not a surprise. It is Rotom. This Rotom will have the nickname Radio Rotom, so you'll be able to give it what it wants.
Yes.
And it will be distributed to players who request them over Facebook, the D20 Radio Network forums, and Twitter in the next, we'll give it a couple weeks here. We'll just have, if you want one, just write into us and we'll take your name down and just be sure to include your friend Safari and for not friend Safari, friend code information if we don't already have it, and we'll totally take you on board and we'll distribute you out your very own Rotom that we will breed legitimately because we are breeding superstars.
Yay.
The only thing that would have made it better is if the Rotoms could have passed along Pokeballs, but they can't because they're genderless.
And
Because
that makes me so sad.
if they did, I would put them in all of the kinds of Pokeballs ever so that people could even get their own Pokeball with their specific Rotom there. But
No.
that having been said, you know, we're going to have a distribution event just to thank everybody who not only listens to us, but also listens to us and responds back. And for we'll also be, Josh and I were talking here, and we're going to start planning out future distribution events to follow as well for releasing Pokemon that we breed up. We'll still be kind of hammering out the details on that one, kind of how we want to run that particular event there, how to, I guess, the Rotom distribution for this one is kind of like the beta for how this will all go down in the future, and we'll kind of study up on how things went this time around to see how it'll work out for the future, but yeah, we'll be trying to distribute out distribute. Well, I need to, my English teachers would be cringing right now at how poorly I've been just mutilating the stresses put on words in this episode. But no, we'll be figuring out how the distribution event will go with that. We'll be figuring out Pokemon, and we'll be distributing them out to you guys because you guys are pretty awesome players, and we want you guys to get really cool stuff that we will make for you, because that's awesome.
Yay.
And we will also be doing it all legitimately again, because I see a lot of, you know, not too... call anybody out in particular or any other groups in particular, but seeing things in my Twitter or Facebook feed where it's like, you know, retweet us or follow us to enter into a drawing for, you know, shiny 6IV, you know, Pokemon, and it's just like, no. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to mean to be, you know, mean about it either. It's just that, you know, I feel like it goes against the spirit of the game to get Pokemon that are blatantly RNG'd or cloned or, you know, yeah, otherwise manipulated there. I mean, if someone was giving one of those out of the goodness of their heart and it was like the only one, because I don't know how you could get multiples of them unless you're like Josh, where it's just like, all right, so I've got all of the shiny 6IV everything ever, so...
I don't have any shiny 6IV anything. I have shiny 5IV things.
Okay, shiny 5IV things.
Come on, Sam.
Yes, I'm sorry. But...
Well, I understand doing things like that. Like, as a group thing, you know that it's not legitimate.
Yeah.
But I think down the road... maybe, it, you know, hopefully a short road, I would be more than happy to have a contest with our listeners and breed a shiny Pokemon for them. But have there be one winner, one and only, and I'm sorry if it only has 4 IVs, I apologize, but that's the way it'll be.
It is a shiny, legit Pokemon that a guy did produce, though, and that is really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Those are our underground announcements, and look forward to future distribution events to follow here, because we are going to do this. This is an exciting idea, and it wasn't anything I really thought of until Josh brought it up, so you can thank him for all of that.
It was all Sam's idea. He's lying.
And then for overworld news, we really only have 2 points here, and... the first one is, I'll take this one because I think it's funny. The Pokemon X and Y movie had images.
And I love that that's all you put in for it.
Yep. That's yeah.
There are images. That's it.
Yeah, it had images. I don't know if it had them anymore, but it had images.
There were once images.
Turns out this is going to be the episode of Sam doing bad grammar all over the place. So... yeah.
So, yes. Yes, that is a thing. And I guess I'll take the second point. Pokemon Troze came out in Japan 2 days ago, I believe. I want to say it was the 7th from memory. But here in the U.S., I know we're getting it on the 20th of this month. And I don't know. I don't remember seeing any information about Europe. But I'm assuming that it will be close to the same date that we get it.
March 32nd.
Okay, there you go. The 32nd of March.
Yes.
The day that, no, I'm sorry, Sam. I can't even follow that.
Well, okay.
I don't know what's going on. I'm going to be joining David and rocking in the corner crying shortly here.
All right, well, that is Pokemon news, And now we will be moving on to our main topic of the day, which is all about our second anniversary. Very exciting main topic. It is the second year anniversary of the Underground Radio, and I'll be editing the show tonight so that we can actually have it go up on the second anniversary, which will be March 10th. For those of you who are interested, we are recording on March 9th. So, but, you know, it's one of those kind of things where I think we had the same discussion last year between Natil and I, where it was like, yeah, we could put it up in the same week, and I said, you know, it would be really cool if it was the same day. So we're going to try and shoot for the same day again here, because it's real. I feel like it's important to recognize the day. So
it's the birthday. You gotta say happy birthday on the birthday.
Exactly. We did a little demographicking here, and it looks like year two had 29 episodes, starting from episode 41 through episode number 70, and that's an average of one episode every 1.79 weeks. So, about an episode every 2 weeks, which is pretty good, all things considered. We had quite a few problems this last year, but I think we've pulled out of it very beautifully, and I'm very excited that Josh and Darren and Mitch and David and Kent have all been really supportive in helping me produce the podcast every week, especially Josh. And we did try to get Natil on for the episode today as well, but she wasn't feeling very well again, so we have been going on with the recording of the episode with that in mind, and yeah, we just hope she gets better soon here. So we... We had a couple of people write in to us for the second year anniversary. The first of which is really something that was a little bit of listener response here, and it was really cool that they would ask this of us just because we did the episode. And I'm thinking that the Shiny episode, number 69, will go down as one of the episodes that really has been a treat for people to listen to. And the listener who wrote in and who later joined us on the Facebook group, which was also really cool because we love seeing people on there too, was Kate Simon. And she wrote into us, "Hey, been listening to the episodes on breeding and shinies, and it's really making me want to breed for a shiny Charmander to have the Charizard, which I've always wanted. My issue is I want to try for two, one for my partner and one for myself. I want to breed one so that it comes out in Duskball, and then on my second go around, I want to breed so that it comes out in a Love Ball. How would I go about doing this? I tend to use a Ditto for breeding. Thanks for your help." Well, when we responded back to her, we asked her if she would also be willing to have this come up in the podcast again, and she was very excited about that. And as we talked about in the Shiny episode, to a degree, we didn't quite get into breeding it a lot. But yeah, the things that you'd really want are, again, the shiny and round charms, just for getting more eggs and reducing the Masuda method down a lot more. I strongly suggested finding a male foreign Charmander, or Charmeleon, or Charizard, which one of the others, just so that you have a foreign Pokemon to breed with, and also to have a female of the Charmander line, just because it's a whole lot easier in this generation to catch the Charmander in the Pokeball that you want, so that you're guaranteed to pass on the Pokeball that you're going to have. And Josh actually also said something too that I hadn't realized at the time when I responded to her, so you can certainly correct me on my correctiony correction stuff.
All of the correcting. Yeah, if you want to breed in a dust ball, that's absolutely legitimate. You can, like Sam said, go catch one in the safari with a dust ball. Has to be the female, though. But sadly, the love ball can never be a thing because the love ball is one of Kurt's Pokeballs, and you can't get any of those currently in this generation. And you can't catch any of the starters in anything ever until this generation. It's always been given to you in a Pokeball. So sadly, it would have to be, if you wanted the Charmander in any kind of different Pokeball, you would have to catch a female in the Friend Safari in this generation with one of this generation's Pokeballs. So you could use something like the Heal Ball. That one's pink.
There you go.
So, I mean, you can find something that looks similar to a love ball, but not quite be a love ball, sadly.
It's not the original thing, but there are certainly a lot of other really cool Pokeballs out there. So.
Yeah. And I wish that that wasn't the case because every Pokemon I ever hatched would be in a love ball.
Yep. Swiffer version
Yes.
2.0.
Yes.
And you know, speaking of dittos, though, you have been instrumental in distributing dittos, as you talked about earlier in the show here, to a lot of the listeners who are big into Pokemon breeding. I mean, you are the person to talk to about those dittos. So, and I've been getting a lot of feedback from people too who have just been like, you know, I got the Ditto here and it's made breeding a whole lot easier. And, you know, a lot of people have said thank you for
Well,
your help with that.
yeah, you did make the little mistake of saying breezing instead of breeding, and it is a breeze
It is a
breeding.
breeze.
So I like breezing
Yes.
because it's the perfect combination of the breezeful breeding that has ever been bred.
It's the perfect combination of breeding and easy. It's breezing.
Yes, there we go. And to Kate, when she does listen to this episode, feel free to contact me on Facebook. I can give you one of those Ditto. And then all you would need would be the female Charmander or Charmeleon from the Friend Safari to breed with it because it is a Korean Ditto. So it already is foreign, which would give you the Masuda method after catching the Charmander in your game or Charmeleon in your game.
Would it be able to breed with the Pokeball, though? Oh,
If
yeah, it would,
the
because it is a
Charmeleon was
female
female,
one.
yep.
That's right.
Yeah, the
So
Pokemon
there you
has to
go.
be the female. So yeah, Kate, let me know.
There you go. And we also had a letter from Anthony Q, who wrote into us over the email account, who wrote, "Hey, Underground Podcast crew, happy 2-year anniversary. I just wanted to share my thanks for you guys doing this podcast. As someone with a job and side career, I don't get much time to play the VG slash TCG outside of friendly competition, and it's been a big thing missing from my life. But ever since I started listening to the podcast about a year ago, I get to feel like I'm still part of the Pokemon community. Your in-depth discussions and explanations for all things Pokemon really help me keep up with the news and changing meta of the games, as well as give me a shot of Pokemon excitement each week. I couldn't thank you guys enough for being my favorite podcast out there, but I'm going to anyway. Thank you, Sam and Atiel, and thank you, Josh, for coming into the podcast now. You guys make a great duo."
Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm touched by that one.
As am I. I like to hear that, you know, I'm not as big a, you know, disappointment as I feel like I am. After listening to you and Nateel, I feel like I'm just kind of there on the side, and it's nice that people at least pretend to like me. So thanks, Anthony.
Yeah. And we also had a post on the Facebook group by Alex Carranza. And for those of you who aren't familiar with him, and, you know, it's okay if you aren't. I mean, he is relatively new to the podcast website, and he's... we've mentioned him a couple of times, though. He is the original artist of the Radio Rotome that we have in our banner and on the official podcast website, the one on WordPress. And he popped on Facebook again, and for the second year anniversary, he redrew Radio Rotome.
Sweet.
And he posted that up for everybody to check out there. And if you want to swing by there, I think I'll try to pin that one up next time so that people can see it up on the top of the leaderboards there. Maybe I'll even try making a new banner for the Facebook group that has that on it. Because it does look
exciting.
Really good. So, thanks, Alex, for redrawing the Radio Rotome. It looks really good. And we also had Pokemon Crossroads, a Pokemon forum that has featured us relatively often in their podcast columns that they write. They contacted me to find out which episodes that I felt were most listened to episodes, or, you know, episodes that were particularly good. I said, well, you know, there's always the Halloween episode, Giggle at the Ghosties. There was the League Reminisce episode where the lot of us from Fargo all got on again and talked about our experiences with Pokemon League. And there was also the first year anniversary episode, which had a lot of listener feedback, and we really got to read out a lot of the stuff that the listeners were excited about. So that was really cool, and I have suggested those episodes to him, and he said that they would do a feature on us for year number two of the podcast.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I really appreciate, too, that they have been taking the time to, you know, let me know that they really like the podcast, that they feature us. You know, I wasn't even aware that any Pokemon forum featured us on their columns or in their spots there until probably just a few months ago, when I figured out that these guys were picking us back up. You know, they were just like, yeah, we were so excited to hear that you guys were back on the air again. And yeah, so I really appreciate it. I do. That having been said, I figured that we would also talk a little bit about year two here as kind of a retrospective. Year two definitely saw less episodes this time around. We had a lot of technical difficulties. We had a lot of issues with illness and with just me learning how to get everything back up and running again. But I think we ended out that year pretty strongly. So, and I'm very glad that you decided to help me out with this one too, for recording every week and getting up super, super, super early to record this too. I've had some of our guest hosts just be like, oh, it's so early, Sam. It's like, yeah, I know, but this is probably the best time that we're going to have a significant amount of time to talk about it here, so.
Yeah, and I need to say that I am incredibly, incredibly honored to be somebody that you feel like you can come to help with this, because you guys know that I've loved the podcast from day one. It helps that we're friends, so I heard about it day one.
Yeah.
But it it's so cool to feel like, you know, a bigger part of this community now. And I'm so incredibly happy that I get to do it and that I get to, you know, be in contact with all of these extra people. Like, being a listener is awesome. I loved listening and just enjoying everything. But it's cool now that I'm helping host how many different people have contacted me through the podcast for all different reasons. And I love it. And when Nateel comes back, I will be very sad to be less a part of it, but we'll be very happy to be able to listen to you and Nateel again.
That's if you're less a part of it. I mean, I would still want to have you on almost a show by show basis, just because it's just, Darren has been a very good co-host too. I really should try to get him on more often. Mitch and David are also very good, and so is Kent. But you and I also have a very nice, what's the right word for it? We have a very nice synergy going on with the podcast too, and I think it also really helps that you and I really know each other too. So
yeah, that helps. We've known each other nowhere near as long as you and Nateel have known each other, but we've known each other for
quite a few,
some time.
Yeah, we've known each other for a couple of years now. So yeah. But yeah.
And if, well, then when she comes back and, you know, if we're all a part of it, can we be like a legendary trio?
I think we could.
Oh, sweet. I can get on board with that then.
Yep. And, you know, we've had over the last year, and I'm just going to pull it up here because I'm, you know, 29 episodes that over the course of a year, that's still quite a number of episodes. And mm-hmm. I still have to look over these things once in a while because even though I helped edit, not the majority of them, but a good chunk of them, I still like to look back and kind of check out some of the episodes. We had, looks like 1, 2, 3. Looks like we had 4 coverages of the trading card game over the last year. We had Plasma Freeze. We had Plasma Blast. We had we had the X and Y set, and we also had a episode where we had Mitch and David on to just talk all about the Pokemon trading card game and find out what was going on in 2014. We also saw, if you can actually believe this or not, we had 2, I believe so anyway. Just gonna look it up here to make sure. Yeah, we had 2 different versions of the Eevee and Ivy episodes. We had one of these set in July 28th and on August 18th of 2013 in Revisiting Ralts and Revisiting Eevee. And we also had the Ivy Breeding with Ralts and Eevee Training with Eevee version 6.0 that I did with Josh here in January 14th and January 21st. So that was also super exciting. I never expected to be able to do 2 of those in a single year.
Yeah, and it seems like a long time ago that the revisiting of them happened.
Right?
It doesn't seem like it was just 7, 8 months ago now.
Yep. And, you know, that's another thing, too. I mean, this podcast has kind of like a timeless quality about
mm-hmm.
it. So, and that's something I really appreciate about it, too. We also had a couple interesting episodes. We had a episode all about grass-type Pokemon that happened. And we also had one about dragon-types. Dragon-types are by far more usable in the competitive Pokemon game. But, you know, Symphony in G Major was also a really cool episode, just because talking about grass-type Pokemon was really liberating. I mean, grass-type Pokemon are just Pokemon that you don't often see all that much. And, it was really cool to check them out and talk about them and look at their moves and see everything about grass type Pokemon. We also reviewed a movie or two. We got the, let's see, I think it was Pokemon Heroes. Yep, we had Pokemon Heroes on September 1st of 2013, and that was the last Pokemon movie episode that we recorded since that time. Looks like we also, nope, that was the only one that we got that time around. Wow, we had four movies in the first year and one movie in the second year.
That's pretty rough.
That is pretty rough. We need to change that. So we're going to have to check out movies for this upcoming year as well.
Three movies, 3 weeks.
Three
Just
movies, 3 weeks. There you go.
get them done.
And yeah, we've also had a couple of different episodes, and we've this year around, we've really focused on the competitive game. I mean, there were a number of episodes, like the Pokemon Worlds recap episode. We had a episode dedicated all to doubles matches. We had our recap of regionals that we had from last year on April 22nd. We had all of our Pokemon TCG episodes that we had here, and we also covered all of the new stuff that happened in Pokemon X and Y. We really covered Pokemon competition heavy in year two. And, whether that was for better or worse, I mean, it's really cool to also get some of the kind of ridiculous things that happen in there too, like the food episode. That was really cool. Even though we sort of talked about food a little while ago, I think it was just last episode where we just got on a topic of the Frank's Red Hot barbecue or buffalo chicken dip, and it was
Crack dip.
just talking all about dip and chips and stuff, and wow, I really need to make
Yes, you do.
that. So yeah, year two has been really cool too, and we've had a couple of different episodes of Double Team as well. We had Sylveon, Heracross, looks like Kabutops, we had Aggron, and I think that might have been it since then, because we had tried to stagger it out a little more so that we had enough time to be able to practice with the teams that we had created as was suggested to us. And that was also a really brilliant suggestion on the part of our listeners there to practice with the teams. Because, I mean, as Josh has said, and as some of the other listeners have said, listening to people talk about the theoretical part of it is okay every once in a while, but seeing it play out in action and learning from any mistakes that you had made or learning from any changes you would have made in those battles really develops you as a player. So.
Agreed. And I want to throw out there the League Reminisce episode. That one was one of my favorites. Well, I think I'm thinking of the right one. Is that the one where it was me and Kent and Scotty and you guys and
Yep, it was
yeah,
Kent, Scott,
Mitch.
you, myself, Mitch, Nateel. It was just all of the old crowd, like old guard people from Pokemon League when it was the Pokemasters of Fargo.
Yeah, and that might not have been as entertaining for everybody else who wasn't a part of the league and stuff like that, but I loved that episode. That's one of my all-time favorite episodes.
Yep. And it's true. It might, some of the things you kind of really had to be there in Fargo to 100% appreciate, but it was still really cool to hear all of us together for that one time there to talk all about how awesome League was and to share our experiences there and just really to get together again. Because I mean, Scott, he was at that point anyway, he would have been, he just had his son Asher, So,
Ash.
So he was pretty busy. You had moved to Texas. Kent had moved to Florida. A couple other people who weren't on the show that particular time had also moved too. So it was pretty much just Nateel, Mitch, and I who were holding down the fort there at League, and to hear everybody together on the show again was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, and year two was pretty good. It was a rough year. It was, but it had its share of really awesome things go on in it as well. And for year three, we've already got some episodes planned out for year three. We're going to be talking about the uncommon rules in the trading card game next week. I know I'm kind of spoiling the ending here a little in advance, but I've got some plans to get David and Mitch back on the air again so that we can talk all about that. Like we said earlier, movie episodes. We really want to do a few more of those. Hopefully I'll be able to get another guest host on for those as well, because that's really the more people you have talking about Pokemon, the more awesome it is. I mean, it's like a universal rule, a constant that the entire multiverse follows.
Agreed.
So I really also would like to get Kent and Scott and Nateel on again for another episode like that too, just for the lot of us to talk again, because I mean, maybe it's for more selfish reasons than anything, but I really enjoy getting all of us on and having like a recorded conversation of us to listen to every once in a while. It's
Yeah.
sort of like taking it's like taking pictures at an event. I mean, you don't necessarily need to have the pictures there, but it's really nice to have something there to remind you of that time there. So.
Yeah, and I don't think we've all been on even Skype or Showdown at the same time since then. There's always been at least one person missing.
Yep. So
So,
yeah.
yes, we need to do that thing.
Yes, we do. It would be really awesome to get that going again. And yeah, other than that, I've got a couple other ideas that have been kind of been kicked around the underground creative episode team programming desk here. I kind of like that description of it, because it sounds chaotic, but really, if you've ever been a part of the planning process of show notes, that's exactly what it is. It's
Is
chaos.
chaotic.
But yeah, it would be really cool to hear that, to hear a couple of these episodes. I mean, having an episode even just talking about like Pokemon figurines would be really cool. So
Just bought another one the other day, so I'm cool
there
with
you
that.
go.
I love my little figures.
Yeah, Pokemon merchandise. So, and I've been trying to do a decent job, I guess, of keeping the podcast updated with a like programming history or programming schedule of what we're going to talk about. Don't always follow it, but I try to as well as I can. So, and it also helps people kind of gauge what's coming in the next week in case they're not able to listen to an episode right away. They can kind of plan their time around, well, okay, for this week we're going to be talking all about the trading card game. I really want to listen to that trading card game episode, so I'll take some time to be able to squeeze in there. So, I really like it.
Yes.
And yeah, like we were saying earlier, distribution events, things that'll get us talking to our listeners more often are things that I really want to have happen as well. Because, like I said earlier, and you know, we both completely agree on this one. Everybody in Fargo here that I've talked to that also listens to the podcast also totally agrees on this one. You know, the people I've talked to in, you know, the Netherlands and, you know, like Brazil and England and Australia, and we even have a listener in the Philippines, you know, all the people all over the world all say that our Pokemon community is just an awesome community, and you know, getting everybody together to talk about that and get more interaction between the listeners is just amazing.
Yes.
Speaking of which, did you know that we have listeners in the UK and the Netherlands and the Philippines and Australia and in Brazil and just everywhere? And I don't even know where they're all coming from, really. Because I am only remembering really the very first episode that Nateel and I ever made, where the only listeners were from Fargo, North Dakota, essentially. And now we've got listeners that are from all over the world. And it's mind-blowing. It really is.
That's what happens when you and Nateel put something like this together.
It's true. So that is really our expectations for year three. We're also going to be asking a question of the week that will also expand upon year three, I think, as well. So for you guys who want to respond to that, be sure to give a listen to it at the very end of the episode, and we'll be able to get in on that. And yeah, year three, we'll start with this episode, and then we'll go into episode number 72, and hopefully we'll be able to get another really awesome year out of this.
Let's shoot for 52 episodes.
52 episodes. You know what? Let's shoot for it. And it is once again time for another episode segment that we have had a very long time in waiting for this guy to come out again, too. It's team building exercises. And with this one, we had a submission from Scott,
Scotty.
Who also decided to send us something for the second year anniversary, and he sent us a team based around slacking, which
Yes, it,
is,
it's pretty funny. Oh, we keep doing that.
yeah, it's awesome.
It's pretty funny. He sent me this team before he sent it to the show, before he planned it out on Showdown, and he texted me. He's like, you know what? I think I'm going to use this team. I'm going to use Amoongus and Mega Alakazam. I was like, okay, you know, those are solid. And then he's
Yeah.
like, and then I'm going to use Slaking and Electros and Togekiss and Arcanine, and it's a VGC team. And you looked at him through the phone. I was just like, you know that those aren't legal in VGC. And he's like, which ones? I was like, well, two-thirds of your team are not tournament legal. So he became a very, very sad Scotty. But yes. It's a solid team for a non-VGC doubles team.
Yes. So we have, I guess, as we've already said before, we have the six Pokemon here, the first of which is a Slaking. And the Slaking is having the ability Truant. It is jolly in nature, and its moveset is Return, Earthquake, Night Slash, and Slack Off. And it has an EV spread of max speed, max attack, and 4 points in HP, and it is wielding the Life Orb.
Next Pokemon on the list is Amoongus. His Amoongus is running Regenerator, which is an incredible choice.
Very good choice.
It is sassy in nature with the moves Gastro Acid, Rage Powder, Spore, Giga Drain, and it's also maxed out in HP with mixed defense EVs with 126 in both defense and special defense. And it is holding the item Black Sludge.
Scott. We also have Electros, which has the ability Levitate. It has the Rash nature, has Gastro Acid, Thunderbolt, Flamethrower, and Grass Knot for its moveset. Is maxed out in special attack and HP, and with a 4-point spread in defense, and is wielding the Expert Belt.
Okay. I need to look up Rash Nature, because I don't know what Rash Nature does, because I don't think I've ever used it.
Let's see, Rash. I think that one lowers... I think I built a Pokemon that has a Rash Nature. I think it was a mixed attacker. So
lowers special defense, raises special attack?
I think that might be what it is. So...
Okay, so that's a thing.
Yeah.
That Scotty put on there.
I think that's what it is. I'm just looking at... Well, I'm trying to load up Bulbapedia here. Scott.
And... Scott is Bulbapedia.
And it looks like, yeah, Rash, Quiet... Or Rash, Special Attack, and Special Defense are the stats that it manipulates there. So... Yeah.
And are any of his moves physical attacks?
Not a single one.
Okay, so Scotty, we're going to talk. But we'll move on to the next Pokemon. He's going to go with an Alakazam. His Alakazam is going to have the ability Trace, and it is going to have a modest nature. Good choice.
Yeah.
Alakazam is going to be running Psychic, Shadow Ball, Focus Blast, and Taunt.
Okay.
And he's got max speed and special attack with the extra 4 EVs into his special defense. And he did list an item as the Focus Sash. If it's an Alakazam, cool. But he did say he wanted a Mega Alakazam.
Yep.
So the Alakazamamonite is what I'm going to call it.
The Alamamolonite.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that needs to never be a thing. So, yes, the Alakazite, or whatever the thing is called. I think that's close.
Alamamolonite will be the polymerization that'll fuse a love disc with an Alamamola.
Yes.
And make the most terrifying Pokemon short of Mega Mr. Mime.
Mega Mime is going to be awesome. All right, you lay off the Mime.
Ben. Sorry. And... we have Togekiss up next, which is a fantastic choice, I must say. Serene Grace is its ability, also a fantastic choice. It's got the Timid nature, and its moveset is Follow Me, Air Slash, Dazzling Gleam, and Roost. It has an EV spread of max speed and HP with 4 points in defense, and is holding the Leftovers.
And the last Pokemon we have on the team is an Arcanine, which I think is an amazing choice. The Arcanine has Intimidate, which in doubles is incredible. Has a Careful nature, and we may have to talk about that again as well, Scotty. The moves it's running are Extreme Speed, Flare Blitz, Crunch, and Will-O-Wisp. And this Arcanine has max HP with 126 EVs into its special defense and 126 into its attack. And it is holding the item Air Balloon.
All right. So, looks like Scott also included a little note here for us, too. Looks like the basic strategy with this team is to get in the heavy hitters and take heat off of them using moves like Rage Powder and Follow Me. Gastro Acid is used to get rid of Truant on Slaking. Many of the Pokemon are immune to ground-type attacks, so I can minimize damage to my own team when using Earthquake. And lead in with Alakazam and Togekiss to throw off the setup of traps with Taunt.
Yeah, and like I said, Scotty was texting me about this team, and we talked quite a bit about it, and his plan and how it would work, and it looks like it could definitely be solid on paper.
Yeah.
And he tried using it a couple times. Did he ever fight you with this team?
He never fought me with this team.
Okay, because I know he put it together on Showdown. I think he may have fought Kent with it. And then I know I fought him with it a couple of times, and it looks really good on paper. Like, it could really work. I mean, Gastro Acid getting rid of Truant on slacking is amazing because slacking has some of the best overall base stats of a non-legendary Pokemon.
Yep.
He's fast, he's bulky, he's got like a base 130 attack or something like that, or 140 maybe even. He's a really, really solid Pokemon.
Yeah.
But using a turn to Gastro Acid hurts a little bit in a lot of situations, especially with the fast game that VGC or just doubles battling can be.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea behind it is really cool, and having Rage Powder is always nice. Aside from those grass types being able to bypass it, Rage Powder is a crazy good move.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, he's got a lot of the strategy, a lot of things in there that can help to build a solid team. We just need to fix a couple of those natures, Scotty.
Yep, and the dual Gastro Acid too. I mean, there are still a lot of Pokemon that rely on those abilities to make them really work. And even if you're not going to use it on slacking itself, just being able to use it on your opponent too. Like, oh, so you've got a Levitate not going to Mega Evolve Gengar. Oh, that's adorable. Gastro Acid. Now,
Yeah.
what are you going to do? So,
Well, he could even use it against the Mega Evolved Gengar to get rid of
Shadow
Shadow.
Tag.
Yeah,
That's
so you can
right.
switch out whenever you want. So Gastro Acid is a really cool move. It really is.
It really
I may have
is.
to have a Gastro Acid Pokemon. I don't think there are any prankster Gastro Aciders, though. That would just be too good.
That would be too good.
Like, oh, Azumarill, what? Half power? Is that your new ability?
Oh, that would be horrible.
I'm liking this. Scotty, you have given me a new project.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and it's just a couple of things here that would need to be changed for really natures for the most part. The one that I would look at would probably be Togekiss. I mean, Timid is okay, but with Follow Me, it's a priority attack, so you don't have to worry about that really. I'd probably go with like a nature that boosts his defenses maybe, or something along those lines. It wouldn't have to be like one that drops his speed, but one that would definitely drop his attack and raise one of his defenses. Probably physical defense, just because it seems like a lot of steel type attacks, like Bullet Punch and everything that would hurt Togekiss, would be good to avoid, and rock type
Yeah.
attacks, that sort of thing.
True. I would go Calm because the special defense is a pretty big stat. So I feel like, just for me, that I would get a little bit greater boost by having that 10% go into an already high stat.
Sure.
But
And I
yeah,
only say
and
that too on this team because it doesn't look like there are a lot of, well, there are some bulky Pokemon on here, but it doesn't look like a lot of them would appreciate a hit on their defense all that much.
yeah.
So, and I'm mostly referring to Mega Alakazam and Arcanine because neither of those two would appreciate like Rock Slide or Stone Edge or even just a really powerful physical attack.
True. And
So.
Intimidate on Arcanine helps a little, but with that rock weakness, it's still not going to help a whole lot.
Yep. But otherwise, it's a pretty solid team. I really like it.
Yeah, as do I.
And Looks like he also had a couple substitutions down here as well.
Yeah, we talked a little bit more.
Looks like he would switch out Togekiss for Tangrowth with Regenerator if he wanted to for that one. He also had ideas of swapping out Arcanine for Charizard. And he would have the Charizard be a Flamethrower Air slash Dragon Pulse one, maybe another Mega Evolution Pokemon. Certainly couldn't hurt. I mean, if you're going into a situation where there are a whole lot of Dark type Pokemon out there, or Pokemon that just Alakazam would not appreciate, or if you didn't think you were going to make use of his ability, Mega Charizard, that's always a thing too. And looks like he also had a substitution for Alakazam in the form of Haxorus, and that was going to be one with Mold Breaker, Jolly Nature, Dragon Dance, Outrage, Earthquake, and Poison Jab. So, another Earthquaker to use.
Yes.
And max, of course, max attack, max speed, 4 points in HP, and Focus Sash, which is also pretty good.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're going to get taken out potentially turn one, that Focus Sash after a Dragon Dance is, I mean, that's amazing.
It is.
Because you're going to be faster than most things after one D Dance, especially with a Jolly Hax.
It's true. So that is Scott's team here. Pretty solid team. Definitely could work a little bit on the natures, but other than that, I mean, it's a team. So, and if any of you listeners would also like to submit a team for us to talk about, whether it's a for serious competitive team or a for fun, just yeah, this is gonna be a great team sort of team.
Furfrou team.
Furfro team, yeah! You can totally send that to us, and we'll be sure to feature it in a show, and we'll talk all about our opinions on it. We'll kind of look it over and give it a second glance and make any suggestions or let you know what we think about it or anything else of that nature. And it is time for Stunfisk Used Fly, and it has been a very long time since I've pulled out a Stunfisk Used Fly sound bed here, but that's good too.
I don't even know if I remember what that one sounds like.
And for this one here, it's a Stunfisk Used Fly for us. We had a couple of people who responded to us over Twitter for the response to the Shiny episode, and the Shiny episode is rapidly becoming one of those episodes that the listeners are passionate about. I really wish I could remember who it was who suggested to me a Shiny episode, because they did
Man,
really well. That was.
I can't remember who it was.
Was it Kent?
No, I thought it was somebody over the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I
I'm gonna have
don't
to
believe it
research
was
that to
Kent.
find out who that was. Or they can just reply to us and let us know so that they can just be like, yep, it was me.
Give them all of the credit ever.
Give them all the credit. Alright, so the first one we had was from Professor E. Seamus, which I really love that name. All right, so Professor E. Seamus wrote to us saying, "At Radio Rotom, if you chain 60 plus with the Pokeradar, the Pokemon are guaranteed to have 3 perfect IVs." And I read that and thought, that sounds way too good to be true. Checked it out, turns out it is true. So
So that's awesome.
that is awesome. Thanks for letting us know about that one. I had no idea. So I still need to get this Poké-Radar. I keep going to Lumiose City because I want to keep getting stuff there, and then I'm just like, Pokemon, Professor Sycamore's lab. I don't care about that. Turns out that's where the Poké-Radar is.
Who
So.
needs Sycamore?
Oh, and fun fact, there is a professor in the new Professor Layton game who is also named Sycamore.
Yes.
So, What was, I think it's, I can't remember the first name though. If it's the same first name though, I'm just gonna be like, I don't even know. But so yeah, chain 60 or more with the PokéRadar, the Pokémon are guaranteed to have 3 perfect IVs, which is pretty awesome if you're going to be chaining for shiny Pokémon.
Yes, it is.
Something to keep in mind. We also had the true of the Stunfisk used fly ones here, and that's because we didn't do our research on this one as thoroughly as maybe we should have.
It's my bad, everybody.
We had Wolfgang Kaiser write in saying, at Radio Rotom, having a Pokemon with the suction cups ability lead your party sadly does not guarantee a bite win. Hashtag chain fishing.
Yes,
Which
and
is something I was completely blown away by too. I just assumed that suction cups made it where the Pokemon could not get away. I mean,
yeah, and that's my mistake. When I looked into it, it does say that it increases the chance of catching, I believe, the
okay.
Pokemon. But that's suction cups and sticky hold, they both do the same thing.
Sure.
So that's my bad.
Okay. But you know, it happens. We had our Psyduck at our fact-checking department kind of drop the ball on that one. Psyduck.
Yeah. We just needed to punch him in the head a few times. He would have been a lot better at checking.
Need to get him a. We need to evolve him into a Golduck here pretty soon, because this is just getting ridiculous. So, that is Stunfisk used fly, and you know, it's ironic too because I just closed a window here and I'm looking at the page not found thing on Pokemon.com, and it is a Psyduck.
Nice.
So. I think the universe is telling me that this episode is going to be a good one. So, yes, that is Stunfisk used fly.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon
This week's Pokemon Spotlight is number 702, Dedenne.
Dedenne is a small, round mouse Pokemon whose whiskers are in the shape of antennae. That's the noise that they make. Which it uses to communicate with other far-off Dedenne, or however you say his name.
Yeah, it's something. The orange pouches on its cheeks charge electricity. Kind of reminds me of another electric mouse Pokemon type. Just saying.
There's another electric mouse Pokemon?
I know. I hear though. There's rumors that it's supposed to be related to Pikablu. So.
Oh, got it. Got
So
it.
yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah, I get it.
We got this.
All right. Dedenne absorbs electricity through electrical outlets and such, and releases the electricity from its antennae.
Sort of like how another one released electricity from its little electric pouch sacks.
Again, I swear I've heard of this Pokemon.
Pikablu.
Yes.
They had all of these rumors from way back in the day, and now they're all coming to light.
Sweet.
Dedenne are known to get even more use out of any berry that it consumes. They're also able to stun any Pokemon that attack them, and they work well with other electric types that have a strong magnetic pull. These particular traits about Dedenne correspond to its abilities, Cheek Pouch, Static, and Plus.
Dedenne is the only Pokemon in existence with the base stat total of 431, which I was unaware of.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
It's
but it is a
always,
very odd number.
it is a very odd number, and it's cool that, you know, they'll just throw in Pokemon that are just, I almost wonder if when they create these Pokemon, when they just have the stat there and then they make the Pokemon after the fact. And then it's sort of like, all right, we have the skeleton for this one. We'll just, now we need the Pokemon to actually fit for this. So.
Yeah.
Deden is also the only Pokemon known in existence that is a fairy and electric type. We'll see what happens in Gen 7.
All of them are going to be fairy electric types.
Turns out starters, fairy electric, fairy electric, fairy electric. And then people are just going to be like, what is going on?
They're all fairy electric slash firefighting.
Yes, that is perfect.
And now it's time to come back to the question of the week. We're going to start off by going to last week's question, which was, what is your favorite shiny Pokemon? Our first response was from Darren Cole, who said, I think my favorite shiny Pokemon are Azumarill. Yes.
Yes.
Best choice ever. And Chandelure, who is also beautiful. I haven't looked up most of the Kalos Pokemon, but I bet I would love something in there as well. And I bet he would.
Shiny Noivern.
Yes. Yeah.
Adam wrote in, Azumarill's bright yellow is pretty awesome. Again, another Azumarill. We're doing pretty well for him.
He's the Easter egg. It's coming up on Easter season.
It's true. So there you go. Apparently it does not compare to the cool blue of Rage Quit, my shiny Shuckle. Which is the best name. I mean, don't get me wrong, Spud is a fantastic name for a Shuckle, but Rage Quit is also... Whoa, I just don't even know.
Okay, and for those of you who don't know, Shuckle, my Shuckle, is named Spud, because he looks like a Spud.
He does.
But for normal Shuckle, Spud is good. For shiny Shuckle, nothing but Rage Quit can work.
Yes.
it's the truth. That is a fact, Pokefans.
It is a fact. You just heard it from our underground radio fact desk of facts.
Yes. And just so you all know, Psyduck did just check that. It is truth.
It is.
And we also had Sam Buchanan write in. He said, for me, it's really a tie between Charizard and Greninja. Too edgy for me.
Yes.
And that, yes, the black starters are incredibly amazing.
They are. They really are. We also had Kent write in saying, again, with some love for these two Pokemon, mine are Greninja, Charizard, and the Ralts evolutionary lines. But he also threw in an edit saying that he almost forgot Mega Blastoise. Not regular, but Mega Blastoise.
Is the Mega Blastoise not purple?
I don't even know, actually. That is an excellent question for the Cerebees, because, yeah, I like calling it the Cerebees, too.
I like it as well. Yeah, he's still purple.
Apparently it's just preference for the super mega, like, death cannon from raining destruction howitzers on his back.
I suppose that could be the case.
Yeah. And he's got two little, like, grenade launchers on his arms there, so...
that he doesn't even use. He still squirts water out of his mouth.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Yes, use Mega Blastoise in the game. The water still comes out of his mouth.
I don't even know.
He's got the death cannons everywhere, and he spits at you instead.
It's because the death cannons are so powerful that if he ever used them, time itself would rend asunder.
That's true, because if Blastoise can cut through metal with those things, or steel, or whatever it is, Mega Blastoise, that's frightening.
That is frightening. Good job, Kent.
Good work.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Adam Bruderer says, Mew, love that blue.
I approve.
Yes.
We also had Alex Carranza write in saying, my favorite is Charizard, but I do really like Metagross, Haxorus, and as of recently, Honedge's final stage is shiny. I really like those two. Though not as much as I like shiny Radio Rotom.
No.
Shiny Radio Rotom is beautiful.
I think that that's his next art project. Just change the colors.
Yes.
Make him shiny and pretty. And our last response is from Mitch, good old Mitch.
Yep.
He says, shiny Ponyta, because the blue flames are the coolest, despite technically being hotter than red and orange flames. Hashtag science.
Yes.
So thank you for teaching us a thing or two there, Mitch.
Mm-hmm. And now for this week, we have a question featuring that I've already kind of alluded to here in the show. What would you like to see more of in year three on the Underground Radio?
And I really hope that we get a lot of responses to this one.
Oh, yeah. I really want to get a lot of responses, too.
Not that I don't love the show the way it is, but it would just be cool to have, you know, some extra input as to what people want to hear.
Exactly.
Rather than me just blabbing on.
It also helps keep things interesting and fresh. I mean, I never would have chosen a shiny episode if someone hadn't suggested it to me. So.
True story.
So, Josh, what would you like to see more of personally in year three?
Well, I've actually mentioned it to you a couple times. I want some more movies.
Yes.
I mean, it's not anything new. It's not anything different. But it hasn't been done in a while. So I think you and I need to get to watching some movies, Sam.
I think that would be a good one to do.
And they can be Pokemon movies too, I guess. But
indeed. I don't know. The movies are pretty good. I think what I would like to see a little bit more of, and I'm taking mental notes down for this one myself, I wouldn't mind seeing some more events that are going on, like Showdown, Skype Down stuff with other listeners, like to schedule some of those things to happen, like a night, maybe not like in the beginning of April, because I'll be going to regionals and I won't really have a whole lot of time for much of anything at that point, but like maybe in May or something, just to have a day where it's just like, all right, so the cast of The Underground is going to be on Showdown and on Skype, you know, just send us your contact information and we'll totally just talk to you guys and, you know, you can just hang out and talk to us and battle some Pokemon and have a great old time that way.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. We could also do like TCGO.
Yes.
For the card players.
That would also be awesome.
Because I've got a couple somewhat solid decks built in there.
I really need to get on building some solid decks.
That you do.
Yes.
And then another thing, I should have thrown this one out, because this is what I want to see more of, more than anything else.
Okay.
Distributions.
Distributions.
I want to give people stuff.
We will be giving people stuff. That's not even a question.
Yes.
All right. So, again, if you guys have any responses to this particular question of the week, and we hope to hear a lot of them, what would you like to see more in year three from the Underground Radio? You can send the response to us in one of several ways. You can either respond to us by sending the response in a tweet format to our Twitter account at Radio Rotome. You can send the response to us through our email account to theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. You can also leave the response to us over the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums, or you can also leave the response to us on Facebook.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via the iTunes store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or rating on iTunes. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them with the nearest deli bird to our mailbag. Or you can just email us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. You can also follow our new Twitter account, @Radio Rotome. We'd also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. Please join our discussions over on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums and on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast.
Please join us again next week when we'll talk all about the more arcane and uncommonly known rules in the Pokemon trading card game. So until next time, Pokefans, remember that our secret base is always open to you if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 unported license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nateel Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.
And now for your Pokemon Pro Tip of the Week. When you begin a trade with someone, be prepared to spend hours on the task at hand. Hashtag those foreign Pokemon. This week's Pokemon Spotlight
Cumberbuns!
Cumberbatch. This week's Pokemon Spotlight is number 702, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes!
Best Pokemon. Just saying.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, I love it when he just comes out of the Pokeball and says his name in that British accent. It's just so cool.
It's true. That's totally going into the end of the podcast.
What's
too.
A Mitch?
Oh. All right. This week's Pokemon Spotlight is number 710. Wow. I said that really forcefully at the beginning. Okay. For reals this time.
We'll see.
Exercise is here. And, yeah, I think I have Scott's team pulled up. Scott. All right. So we'll record that guy, Scott, in... I should just say that at random points in his team here, just
Scott.
Because. All right, we'll record slacking team building exercises in 3, 2, 1.